Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Connecticut man caught an 8-foot shark while paddle boarding in Long Island Sound. Eddie Carroll, 30 of Northford, was participating in the greatest bluefish tournament on earth when he snagged an 8-foot female sandbar shark. Oops. Eddie, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
It's an amazing story. So what happened?
So I was fishing the bluefish tournament. It was day two. I weighed in a decent-sized blue day one and knew I needed bigger day two to make it on the leaderboard there. And ended up hooking into that shark and going for quite the ride.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're on a paddleboard.
Yeah, what are you doing on a paddleboard fishing?
Yeah, I grew up in Madison on the water. I used to kayak fish, and when paddleboards came out, I quickly adapted to that and super comfortable on there. I just strap a milk crate on there, throw my gear on, and I'm on my way. It's not typical you catch an 8-foot brown shark, so typically it's not something I'm overwhelmingly worried about.
Let's say, on a paddleboard, if you caught the winning weight, 20 pounds, wouldn't that be a problem?
You just ride the fish back in?
Like, what do you do? There's a guy with a fish in his mouth coming in.
Hi-ho, Silva!
Yeah. No, it is tough even with the bluefish. I typically just bring the bluefish to the side of the board and then get the hook out that way and let them go. But yeah, with a tournament, obviously I got to keep it on the board and then go weigh it in. So it was a little challenging just doing that, not to mention dealing with the shark.
Do we have audio from...
A little bit of audio, yeah, right, of Eddie hooking the shark.
I'm hooked into by far the biggest thing I've ever had on the line.
He did the slow down camera work so you can see it like kind of coming up, and then it's just like, whoa.
I thought he fell in the water.
You both didn't know what to do, it seemed like.
But the shark and him?
Yeah.
Yeah, the shark's like, this is awkward.
You can see he gets confused right here.
The shark is that time.
Sorry, yeah.
What did he say?
What the F kind of shark are you?
Kind of shark.
The shark popped up and was like, is that a paddleboard?
In the sound? What's wrong with you?
Not being caught by a paddleboard. Yeah.
Hey, man, I was just trying to prank and pretend I was a bluefish.
This
sorry,
is
man.
Not how I go out.
Let me tell you something. If that was me, everything would have been brown in that water.
Did you pull that? Did the shark pull you?
Yeah, the shark pulled me around quite a bit. The power was pretty unbelievable. I even had a small anchor down, and it was pulling me pretty good with that. The shark actually ended up wrapping the anchor once I got it. Got some line back. It almost took all my line at the beginning. I ended up gaining some back. But then I had to untangle it from my anchor and then pull the anchor up with one hand and the shark in the other, and then it started pulling me out towards the middle of the sound.
How long did it take in this back and forth to figure out this is not a bluefish?
I would say probably by the time I got my anchor up, I had a pretty good idea it wasn't a bluefish, but with the 25,000 potential prize, you got to kind of put your head down and at least see what it is, right?
Yeah. You don't want to cut that.
And it pulled, you got to look down.
Pulled you along, so you kind of like shark DoorDash.
But he's doing all this while making a video. That's also crazy.
Multitask.
Yeah, how are you doing that? Do you have a mount for your phone camera, or is that you're doing one hand on the pole and one hand with the camera?
Yeah, one hand on the pole, one hand with the camera. I could tell you it'd be nice to have maybe a GoPro or something. Get the whole pole story.
Maybe like a helmet camera or something. Yeah.
Are you just waiting for the apocalypse so you could win?
When you pulled the phone out and you didn't, you no longer committed two hands to the pole, did you already know this was not a bluefish?
So by the time I got my phone out, I had gotten the shark close enough and saw it just myself without any video documentation once, and then I got my phone out. Right. I knew the shark was very tired, yeah.
All right, so you weren't risking $25,000 to get the shot of you pulling the bluefish out?
No, no. You so, like, the day before, I took the video of the bluefish I caught the day before with it, like, bundied up to my milk crate, and it already had, you know, been on the board for a while.
He's got a milk crate. Like,
right.
Like, yeah. How's the guy in the paddleboard going
really
so fast?
Tech.
Right.
Right. Looks like he's water skiing.
Right. He keeps yelling something. Help.
He's got a volleyball named Wilson. What is he doing?
Right.
Jeez.
That is just insane.
Seriously.
That is, you have the best fish story ever.
Yeah. Especially being on the paddleboard.
It would have been just a fish story if I didn't get my phone out. So, you know.
You're right.
Yeah,
you have proof.
You're right. Do brown sharks bite people?
You know, I hope not. It was a big animal with a lot of power, but I'm of the mindset that sharks just don't go around attacking people for no reason.
Unless they get ticked off, you got caught in a line.
Yeah, yank them out of their life.
Yeah.
No, I'm just
trying to pull me onto a paddleboard.
Yeah, right, I take a leg.
You pull me out of my house, I might bite you.
Yeah.
That's true, you know.
Wow. Well, nice job, man.
Yeah. Glad you're still here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I had quite the paddle home, and I had to make it. It was my cousin's birthday. We had a 12:30 tea time. So I just.
Yeah, good idea. Stick the land sports for a while.
That's awesome. Yeah. This dude is great.
I was driving the cart and a bear attacked me.
Went for a drive and an eagle got me.
Wow. Awesome. Eddie Carroll has a viral video. He hooked a brown shark during the bluefish tournament. Thanks for coming on, and congratulations on having the best fish story now.
Yeah, dude.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Awesome to be on with you guys.
All right. Thank you, brother. There was that Barstool Pizza Review fight.
Yes.
It went super viral.
It did.
And the person I love the most in the video is Dom of the Year.
Right.
Who just walks right into the shot. Hey, Dom, take us through your day. You just end up on the street randomly, or did you know he was going to review that place?
So I was just walking down the street, and I did used to work at this pizza shop called Dragon Pizza. So I was just walking down the street and just saw the review, and I wanted to introduce myself to Dave.
So you just walk into the shot, mid-shot?
Saw an opportunity, I had to take it.
But you used to work at the pizza place? What happened?
I moved on, yeah. Right. It wasn't a great environment, as you can tell.
What did you do? Did you make pizza? Did you just work the counter or what?
Yeah, I did everything. Just like in real life. I do it all.
Ruth was saying something about you wore a see-through shirt.
It's like one of those H&M shirts that are light fabric, barely see-through, not even. It's just breathable. Right. That's the word that I should
right.
say.
Well, you want to wear that near a pizza oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, near two of them.
So that's why they got kicked out, or?
No, I didn't get kicked out. I left happily, and they were waiting for me to come back. But
well, they reduced your hours after the shirt incident?
The shirt incident, yeah. Shirt incident of 2022.
The shirt incident of 2022. So you were just working there last year. So it wasn't like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
That's wild. So you used to work there. You leave on not great terms. And did you hear that Dave was going to review them, or you just happened to be going down that street?
Divine timing. I was just walking down the street.
Good timing.
And I couldn't pass up the opportunity to witness a pizza review of the establishment that I
Are you from Somerville?
I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay. And so what were you doing going down the street? What were you
hanging
doing
out
in the neighborhood? Just hanging out?
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Near the old idea they were going to review the place.
Nah.
Wow.
That's just me being Dom of the Year.
Dom of the Year.
That's some question.
24/7.
I love how the fight, you know, escalates. You step out of the shot, but then you come back in when you know it's safe. You just walk right back in.
He's no dummy. He's Dom, not dumb.
Dom of the Year.
I knew I was going to do something like that in my lifetime, so it wasn't like a fresh thought.
Right.
What do you mean?
There's a thing called World Star. And before viral video, people would just scream "World Star."
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
Right,
someone's getting hit at the Popeyes. Like,
prime opportunity. Videos go super viral, and at this point, you can kind of tell 1 + 1 = 2. So
yeah, you just happen to be there. You walk into
it's just
you
like,
see.
I was the first one to ever do that, and people were like amazed that I kept my cool in such a heated, emotional moment. I was just level-headed and saying,
chill.
It's kind of like a cool painted picture that everybody can relate to.
Right.
Yeah, you were the calm in the storm.
Right.
But that's what's funny about this whole video, because if you watch the whole deal, there's multiple layers, because he doesn't really get right to the pizza review. He walks out and he's talking about clothes store across the street and purchase some clothes. And he takes a bite of the pizza. He doesn't really want to give it a bad review, but he gives it a 6.4. He says it could be his fault. Looks better in the counter.
Right.
Then you walk into the shot, and then there's this conversation. Then there's the fight with the guy, and then he comes back, and it gets worse. And then you step back in after. It's really, there's a lot going on. It's almost like a sitcom.
Right.
Yeah. Like a 10-minute sitcom.
Yeah.
And you're Kramer that came in.
Right. Yeah. waiting for the applause. Yeah.
Someone should take the Seinfeld bass and put it to this video.
Nice.
And then in walks Dom of the Year.
Right.
What's impressive is the camera really never moves. And everybody knows where it is. everybody makes it into the shot.
I shoot my own music video, so I knew exactly. I had to, like, lean over into the camera. People are like, you're so close to Dave. I was like, I was just getting into a tight shot.
Right, so you're blocking, yes.
And you can see
Dave
the cue card from there.
Says, Dom, enter here.
I was jumping in like double dash.
Have you had any conversation with the owner of the pizza shop since you left there?
Right.
That's neither here nor there.
What happened?
Yeah.
I won't give them any more. I mean, I just said it, but I'm not talking about them anymore.
Well, it's awesome, and thanks for coming on, and it's amazing that you just happened to be on that street.
Yeah. Good timing.
Right when the place that you used to work at is being reviewed by Dave Portnoy, and you walk in, because any pizza review that he does gets a zillion views.
Right.
But to be in the one where there's a fight,
at the place
and you just add the Kramer vibe to this.
Yeah.
You're awesome. So lucky.
Like the nucleus of the whole thing.
That's right. Thank you, Dom.
Much love. Thank you so much.
Right back at you,
Dominic.
Oh,
I'll
be
in Connecticut soon. Hit me up. I'll come do a show. Dom of the Year.
Yeah, no, we'll bring it to a good pizza place.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, Dave said Connecticut's the best place for pizza in America. So
no, he said the world.
Right, the world. Right.
Yeah, he did
said
the world.
The world.
Even Guam. Right,
he said New Haven is the pizza capital of the world.
Right, so wear your see-through shirt, too, by the way.
All right, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Multiple music artists died over the last week, and we have Jimmy Koplik on to talk about some of them and his memories of them with us. I'm sad with the news of Jimmy Buffett. Didn't see that one coming.
No, I didn't see it either, but I guess all his friends knew about it because he had been sick for 4 years already. So, but he continued to tour, which is quite admirable, I must say. But evidently he had this rare skin cancer for the last 4 years.
Can you share with us any memories? I'm guessing you worked with him for decades.
I worked with him a long time, yes. And it's funny. The memory I remember is not such a great memory. It wasn't his fault. It was our fault. But it was 1998 backstage at the what was then the Meadows. And we were having dinner. And the chicken really was terrible. And he looks at me and he goes, "This chicken tastes like rubber." So I wasn't having chicken, so I took the chicken, and it really wasn't cooked enough. And he looks at me and goes, "You know, I sell out 25,000 tickets. I like chicken, but I also like it cooked." And I looked at him. I go, "Yeah, this is really terrible. I mean, it really isn't cooked well enough." He goes, "Well, you know, I'm coming back next year," which would have been 1999. Says, "Please have it cooked." So I go to the chef, who's not the person we use now, and I complain to him. I go, "Look, this is not good. You got to make sure the chicken's cooked next time. It's really not cooked enough." 1999 comes around. I suggest that we have lobster, and really, because I know he's a seafaring guy, and I thought lobster would be great. So I have this great lobster dinner, all made up for him. And we sit down and have dinner, and I'm really proud of myself. I no chicken. We have lobster. And he takes a bite of the lobster, and he goes, "This lobster's not cooked."
Oh, no.
Yeah, really. So I said, "Oh, my God, are you kidding me?" And I taste it, and it was very rubbery.
Oh, no.
Oh,
like a bad running gag.
It was just awful, and... let it be said, that was the last Jimmy Buffett show I ever promoted.
Gotcha.
Is that right?
Wow.
And I understood.
It's all about the food.
The promoter can't even get the food cooked. What am I working with this guy for?
Wow. Right, and I told him I like chicken. Now he has lobster.
Right.
Yeah, well. So we did promote more Jimmy Buffett shows out at Mohegan Sun, and they did a great job, as always, Mohegan Sun. But as far as, you know, and everybody would call in, when's Jimmy Buffett coming back to the amphitheater? When's Jimmy? And I couldn't tell the real story because Jimmy was still alive, and I didn't want to say it was because of uncooked food 2 years in a row. He won't trust my cooking, my people's cooking anymore. That's why he kept going out to Mohegan Sun.
She had cheeseburgers one night.
Right. That, cheeseburgers, right. Paradise.
The rubbery.
French fried potatoes, right. Pine 57 and all that stuff on it. I'm just doing your song, Jimmy.
Well, what can I say? So that's my Jimmy Buffett story.
Like buffet.
I lost my relationship over uncooked food.
Wow.
Well, a great live performer.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. I considered him very much. His parrot heads were much like deadheads, I thought. Jimmy would change his set around. The audience was definitely part of the show, like deadhead audiences are part of the show. It was really very tribal. And what I love about live concerts, how tribal it is. And Jimmy Buffett's fans were very tribal, so it was wonderful.
Jimmy Complex on the phone. We're talking about some of the great music artists we lost over the last week. Jack Sonny from Dire Straits, former guitarist of Dire Straits, died at the age of 67.
Connecticut resident up until the last few years. He moved down to Mississippi, lived in West Hartford. And, in fact, we had him on the show together.
Yes.
And quite a storyteller. And as he always called himself, the other guitarist in Dire Straits. But he moved on stage really nicely, really played really great. And I always felt if Mark Knopfler liked you as a guitarist, you were a damn good guitarist. And he was a damn good guitarist and a great friend. And we stayed in touch over the years. I still to this day don't know what he died of. I have no idea. But we had just spoken a few months before he passed.
Yes, not listed the cause of death. But yes, you make a great point. If Mark Knopfler is going to say you could stand here and play guitar,
yeah,
you are damn good.
You're good, yeah, good guitar player. Yes,
went to University of Hartford, Hart School of Music, and a true representative of our state.
Wow.
Smash Mouth lead singer Steve Harwell.
Never had any personal conduct with him. I never really saw the band very much. I understand he was a nice guy, but he had gotten sick a couple of years ago and retired from the road. Only 56 years old, tragic, died that young.
Yeah.
A band that had a couple of really big hits, but never really broke through. And we actually thought of putting them on Sound on Sound last year, but ended up not happening. But they're touring. They're still touring without him. The band still does exist.
Speaking of Sound on Sound, what's going on with that?
We have our last sale, which is ends tonight at midnight, $99, our famous $99 for the PLR listeners. People know what that means, 99. And we are just go on soundonsoundct.com and put in Labor Day as your passcode, and you'll be able to buy tickets today for either day for $99, and then we're full price right on through the show, and we're almost at 50,000 tickets.
Wow.
Unreal. And well, it's, I mean, beautiful location.
Yeah.
Better than last year.
Yep.
At Red Hot Chili Peppers, John Mayer, Alanis Morissette, and a million other acts.
Yes, we're right near the water now. Now the fans can see the water, which is really something we really wanted to get to this year, where you can really Sound on Sound. Let's really make it on the Sound. So we're actually setting up a beach party right on the beach.
Cool.
Oh, nice. And then Gary Wright, before we let you go, we had another passing here.
Very sad. Gary Wright opened up for my most memorable time with Gary Wright as he opened up for Peter Frampton at Colt Park in 1976. When Peter was waving to everybody, walked right off the front of the stage and broke a rib. But Gary was.
What was he doing? What was Peter doing right before that happened?
Well, we were having a good time in the trailer.
He was getting attitude. He was getting ready for the show. Attitude, right.
Let's put it this way. His mind wasn't working at 100%.
Right.
Probably at about 90%.
Peter Frampton wasn't asking Jimmy for chicken.
No.
And it was something else.
Or lobster.
And he didn't even feel it because he got up on stage and played his whole show. So
there you go.
So I said, do you feel like you do? He was like, oh, God.
That was the magic of medical marijuana back in the 70s.
Yep.
That, did he break something?
Broke a rib.
Broke a rib.
Broke a rib and right. did the entire show.
Right.
And let me tell you, I have never broken a rib, but I've bruised ribs, and that hurts.
It's painful. Breathing yeah. and yeah. laughing.
Right.
It's painful.
Breathing, laughing, and turning to your side, you just can't believe how much it hurts.
I was doing that one song you heard. Hurts like hell. Hurts like hell. Ow. Ow. I can't breathe right now. I can't breathe. Ow.
How does it feel?
Right. I don't feel so good right now.
But Gary was, I had only met him a few times, really nice guy, little guy, which I always like little guys. And he had Dreamweaver and My Love is Alive. But other than that, he really didn't have that many hits. But his career withstood not having hits because he was still a popular opening act.
Well, thanks for sharing those stories with us. I can't, you know, it was just... almost unbelievable how many artists passed in the last
Seriously,
few days.
Seriously, yeah.
And, you know, yeah. just
my only advice is don't let times pass by. If you really love seeing an artist and you and they're getting on in age, go see them.
Yeah.
Because yeah. you miss the final chance to see them. And, you know, Rod Stewart's very healthy, don't get me wrong, but watching Rod Stewart on Wednesday night of last week was just such a trip. He was still so good and... and everybody there, I'm sure, loved it at the Amp in Bridgeport. And, you know, go see your great acts that you've loved your whole life because you never know when you won't be able to.
Yeah. Awesome. Jimmy Copley, thank you. We will talk to you Thursday at 8:20.
You got it.
Thank you, brother. Let's talk to this guy. He just wrote a book about Ozzy.
Ozzy.
Ooh.
And thank you for holding Daniel Buckspan. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, close enough. Don't worry about it.
Close enough.
Yeah, what is on the mark? How do you pronounce it?
Well, if you're in Poland, which is where the name originates, it's Buchspan.
Buchspan.
Buchspan. Nice.
Yeah, but I'm not going to make any, but I say Buckspan because I'm just not, you know, I'm not going to make people, you know, be authentic to how it was pronounced 100 years ago in Poland. So, you know, Buckspan is fine.
Cool.
Or Dan. I even answered it, Dan.
I'm going to go with Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Dan, I can handle.
Yes.
There you go.
Thanks for coming on. Before we get to your awesome Ozzy book, by the way, and I have it right here. It is yeah. amazing.
Yep. And heavy.
what do you have any thoughts on the Burning Man music or arts festival?
I personally have never been to Burning Man, but I know people who used to go every year. Like, that was... what they would spend months in advance planning and all that sort of thing. And I'm looking at all these pictures and everything about what's going on right now. And I'm just like, wow, you know, I wouldn't have gone to that when it was working. Like, I wouldn't have gone to that when it was good. This, the way it is right now, just, this is like a horrible, just absolute disaster. So I'm happy for my friends who chose not to go this year. Those are my thoughts on
Oh, that's
Burning
interesting.
Man.
They dodge a bullet.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm 53, and, you know, my friends are all, like, around my age. You know, once you get this age, it's kind of like, all right, we've done this. That's good. Thank you. You know, we made our point.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not feeling it like they did when they were 30, you know, when you still have some moxie in you and have something to prove and that kind of thing. Now it's, you know, they would rather sit on their porch drinking tea and, it's much nicer than, you know, being out in the desert for a week.
As a music journalist, even though it's not really a music festival, it's more about art. This is something you write about though, right? 73,000 people like stuck out in a desert.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. My last book was about Woodstock, which in a lot of ways was kind of a disaster in terms of, you know, the amenities not being what they should have been, the weather being horrible. There were a lot of things that went wrong. But somehow, like, you know, the crowd kept it together. It was, you know, a nice thing. And, you know, we look back on it fondly today. Most of these kinds of festivals and festival shows and that sort of thing tend to turn into disasters pretty easily. So, I mean, what you're seeing with Burning Man right now is not that unusual. You know, they don't all turn into like deadly riots like Woodstock 99, but you know, they tend to be pretty haphazard and pretty disorganized.
It's hard to manage, you know, that many people.
Yeah.
73,000 people out in the desert.
A lot of folks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of people. And, you know, I mean, the one thing I can say is that with Burning Man, you're supposed to just like bring all your own stuff, including your own generator and your own porta potty, you know, and that sort of thing.
Wow.
So, yeah, right. Yeah, it's a big deal. I don't know how many people know that, but you're basically moving to the desert for the amount of time that the festival is. But yeah, most festivals go badly. So yeah, but I don't know. I mean, even by that standard, I would totally expect next year all the exact same people to show up for Burning Man again, because that's just what they do. That's who they are.
Right.
This seems like if you're going to go out to the desert to just look at art and stuff, be tribal, it seems like a really cool story to have.
Yeah.
Like, I was at the one that was flooded, and we were locked down, and it was muddy, and it was horrible.
Historical.
Yeah. When you get a couple weeks away from it, you're like, actually?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. Best life experience ever.
Right. Let me talk to you about your book, Ozzy at 75.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to prep for this?
I've been a fan, like, most of my life. So I was kind of like already in position to write the book when I got the offer to do it. And it just kind of, I don't want to say it was effortless, but it's hard to explain, but I was already so intellectually in place to write it, just in terms of knowing all the big stories and knowing, you know, being really familiar with the music and, you know, really having things to say. It wasn't a new topic for me. I've written about him before. I've written about Black Sabbath before. I'm a fan. You know, it's, I mean, this was really the kind of project that I was really meant to write. I felt like, you know, I mean, over the course of my career as a writer, you know, there have been a lot of gigs that have come up where, you know, the topic is brand new to me. And, you know, you start from scratch in terms of the research and that sort of thing. I've had extensive opinions about Ozzy Osbourne and his music and that sort of thing since I was 12. And that was 40 years ago. So, I mean, I was pretty much like primed and off to the races, as it were, when they asked me if I wanted to do the book. So there wasn't a lot that I had to do to prepare. You know, I mean, I had to obviously like make.
So who's they? Who asked you to do the book?
Motor Books, Quarto, the publisher.
Oh, okay.
And any reaction from Ozzy or Sharon?
None that I am aware of.
Right.
And what's like one or two things that, you know, we'll pick up this book and read? And by the way, I love the format. Takes you from the beginning through the end. Easy to follow.
Nice.
Lots of pictures, which I love.
I love pictures.
There's just something about seeing Ozzy and Randy and Sabbath and all these people young and in their prime.
Yep.
And, you know, pictures that weren't on album covers. That there wasn't a web thing then.
No.
Social media. These are all just, it's really, really comforting to look through, and it's an easy read.
I like that.
But what's like one or two things that we would take away and say, wow, you know what? I didn't know that about Ozzy.
I mean, for me, one of the biggest discoveries in researching the book, and, you know, that I hope other people will take from it, is what a very kind of like surprisingly humble guy Ozzy is and has always been. You know, I mean, his public persona, it's kind of this like Count Dracula thing that, you know, I mean,
Prince of Darkness,
Prince of Darkness. Exactly. You know, and he's larger than life. I think a lot of people don't necessarily think of him in terms of like what type of a person he is. But, you know, for everything that he's done in his life, he's taken total responsibility for it. Like, he had a previous marriage before he married Sharon. And that, you know, it did not work out. They got divorced. And his take on it was like, you know, I am the one who messed that up 100%. That is all on me. She was right to leave me. I did a bad job. You know, he was really forthcoming about it and was not looking to blame anyone for anything. And I found that that was like kind of a through line through the entire thing, where he never seemed to blame anyone for anything. You know, there's the occasional like producer that he didn't like working with or whatever. But for the most part, he is willing to take all responsibility for everything that he did.
He owns it, yeah.
And for me, it's like, you know, that's a big deal. Because, you know, I'm sure you guys have been aware that there are some artists out there who are not so happy to, you know, take responsibility for their own mistakes and are just looking for who can I blame this on? What poor staffer or underling can I, you know, tell everyone, messed up this whole thing when clearly it's their fault?
Well, the book is really well done. Yeah. And we got to have you back so I could get into some specifics on it.
Yeah.
But this is a great gift for any music fan. You don't even have to be a Black Sabbath or Ozzy fan to love this book and the way it's done. It's a great coffee table book.
Yeah.
And then if you want to read, you read. But it brings you right through the beginning all the way to now. Ozzy at 75. We're linked up on the radio station website. Thank you for sending a copy.
Yes,
it really gives us a different connection to the book than like a download.
Yeah.
But we want to have you back because there's some points I want to cover, and we're just, you know, busy day today.
No problem. I would be happy to come back, and I thank you for having me today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Yeah. Buchspan.
Nailed it.
Buchspan. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Flight made an emergency landing after a passenger had diarrhea throughout the plane.
Oh, no.
I mean, they have a bathroom.
Yeah, but apparently they didn't make it.
Don't tell me what to do.
Right. Yeah. Number 2 flight?
They have more than one bathroom, usually.
JetBlue, that's what your ass.
A Delta flight set to go from Atlanta to Barcelona. That sounds like a long flight.
It's long when you have to go.
Had to turn around for an emergency landing after a passenger had diarrhea all the way through the plane.
Oh, my God.
I'd be so mad.
At that point, you just get rid of the plane. Just burn it. It's never going to come clean. Just get rid of it.
That's why if a piece of food ever hits one of those carpets in an airplane, it's gone forever.
Yeah, don't pick it up. I don't care if it's an Oreo.
Yeah, you're not picking that grape up and putting it back in your mouth.
I don't care. Yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah. That piece of Snickers can sit there.
Goodbye.
Yep, done.
Imagine asking, why are we landing?
Right.
Oh, I think everyone was well aware.
I'm sorry, did you say you were pooped? No, the plane's been pooped in.
Here's the pilot making the announcement.
Negative. It's just a biohazard issue. We've had a passenger who had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so they want us to come back to Atlanta.
They want us. They want us to come back.
Did you tell him he was holding his nose?
A biohazard.
Yes. Yep.
Ugh.
Yep. That's what he said. Ugh. Oh, man. I am not cleaning that.
It's bad enough being stuck next to someone with a baby with a dirty diaper for a while.
Yeah.
The baby's booing him.
Right, yeah. Even the baby's like, act your age.
It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
That's my job.
Wow.
Where's Mike Tyson to punch that person?
Where did they I want to know, what did they eat? That came from somewhere.
I don't need to have more information.
Was it the in-flight meal? What happened?
No, it's probably liquid lunch.
Right. Very liquid.
From Atlanta to Barcelona.
Yeah.
So.
Right. It became liquid lunch.
We're having a couple nips.
Right. Little tacos.
Yeah.
Airport food. Airport terminal food.
Yeah, but it was terminal, right?
Most of it has gotten better. It's still not great.
Right.
Oh, you're just sitting there feeling that gurgling, and you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, there's no escape.
Turbo lax time. Yep.
Like, oh, me too.
You got a... Uh-oh.
Hold it together.
Wait, in a cork?
You're sitting on the vomit bag.
I would imagine number two on a plane is just bad enough because the bathroom is so small and so gross.
Yep.
So gross.
Yep.
You can't help it. You're touching surfaces you don't want to be touching.
Yep. No.
You can't
yep.
help it.
Yep.
Trying to brace yourself because you got to in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Turbulence
oh.
is going on.
Right.
In and out.
Right.
Yeah, I was on a plane to Vegas, and I went to go to the men's room, and someone was in there, and then I walked back, and I could see the thing from my seat,
uh-huh.
the door, and it's like 1 second, 2 seconds.
If this is longer than
1 minute, 2 minute, I'm like, right. oh, maybe boy, they, I know what's going on in there.
Maybe they have a belt or like
I don't want to go in there.
Tucking their shirt in and like, fixing their hair.
Yeah.
Like, I hope they're just doing coke.
Yeah, I hope,
it was a pilot probably. I hope I was hoping for a well put together woman who was like, all right, she's just doing her makeup.
Yeah.
Nope.
Instead of some grandma holding a submarine sandwich. You actually ate in there?
Yep.
Mm. Biohazard.
I could only imagine how bad that plane was.
Yeah. Oh.
There's no. Yeah, you're trapped in that tube of poo scent. Yuck.
They have to make that turn, so they got a bank, and you're just watching the liquid just roll. And like, no!
It's coming towards us! Lift your feet! Oh, crap, why am I wearing flip-flops today?
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut, on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.